Good morning. Praise the Lord. God is good, and he maketh my way perfect. God is my strength. God is my power, and he maketh my way perfect, the Bible says here in 2 Samuel. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. Who is our rock save our God? Again, these verses are out of 2 Samuel 22. I'd like to continue the study here in Hebrews 11. It says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Here's a man, Enoch. Enoch was a man. He was a man of faith. And it says that before his translation, before he was escorted into heaven, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Is that my testimony? Is that who I am? Does God talk to his angels about me? Moses Stolzfus, does he talk about me and say, that man pleases me. His ways please me. How about you? Does God talk to his angels about you, naming you by name, saying, that person pleases me. I like the way he witnesses to people. I like the way he's just faithful. He's a faithful person. Is that what God says of you? It says that Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. So let us consider, what does it take to please God? Well, it says here in Hebrews 11, verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, first he must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do you diligently seek God? I have to think of the verse there in Matthew 22, I believe it is. Matthew 22, let me see if I can quote the verse. It says, it talks about, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do you diligently seek God? Are you a person that seeks first the kingdom of God? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, we go about our life, about this life, and we're concerned about this, and, you know, we're concerned about that, and, you know, we look at our checking account, and there's just not enough money to reach around, and we get concerned, and we get all worried about it. But God says that if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto you. Do we believe that? Do we believe that God, that all these things shall be added unto us if we are faithful and diligently seek first the kingdom of God? So what am I doing to seek first the kingdom of God? Am I going about busy every day? I'm just too busy to read the Bible. I'm too busy to pray. And I'm going about doing my farming or whatever it might be, working many hours to try to make ends meet, and I'm just too busy to take time off to read my Bible and to pray. Well, that's not seeking first the kingdom of God. I really believe that we, if we truly seek first the kingdom of God, then we will be diligent. And we will be faithful in rising early, opening our Bibles, and reading the Word of God, falling upon our knees and praying to God. And we will diligently seek Him. And we will be faithful to God. So what are we doing? Are we truly seeking first the kingdom of God? Or are we seeking to fill our own pockets with money? Gold and silver that doth corrupt. Gold and silver which fadeth away. It has no lasting value. No value for eternity. Is that what we're seeking after? Or are we seeking after those things which produce life, life everlasting? That's what we need to seek after. It says that Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. And then it goes on to say that without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That diligently seek him, it says. Then it goes on to say in Hebrews 11, verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. You know, Noah, 100 years building the ark. Noah, I mean, just think of all the sneering and the people that walk by that ark. What in the world does he think he's doing? Building a big boat here in the... there's no water here. There's no place to sail this boat. How is he going to get it out to the sea to sail this boat? And all the sneering that happened there. And what would you have done? How many years would you have been building the boat when people came by sneering and all kinds of words against you and maybe some people were helping, and they finally said, oh, this man is crazy. Why am I helping to build this boat? And they walked away, and then there was only, I don't know how many people were helping him to build the boat, but it says it took him 100 years. How many of us would have been faithful for 100 years to build a boat on dry land, where there was no water, and there was no way to get it out to the water to float it? But Noah, it says Noah was faithful, and he prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. You know, Abraham had a commitment to God. He believed God, and he knew that God told him to build this ark. And he also knew that God is faithful and that God will bring to pass it that which he told him. Noah. God told Noah that it's going to rain and it's going to flood. And he told him to build an ark, and he told him exactly how to build this ark. And so Noah went to work, and he built this ark, and he was faithful for 100 years. What about you and I? Would we be faithful for even 10 years to work at a project like this? I mean, this is a big project. And, well, Noah could have thought, well, how in the world? I mean, I'm building this big ark for what? Animals. How in the world am I going to get these animals into the ark? I mean, they're wild animals. What? Come on. This is not... I mean, you know, just think of it. All the thoughts that would go through our mind as we are building this ark. Certain pens for the giraffe, certain pens for the lion, and all these. I always think, how am I going to get? But no, Noah had faith, and he kept on building. He made it exactly the way God told him to make it. And Noah had faith. And you know, when that time was fulfilled, and then God brought the animals. Noah did not have to go out in the fields and in the woods and round up all these animals. But God brought them one by one, and they came into the ark. And they went into their stalls where they belonged. What a marvelous thing. Just imagine all these animals walking up the ramp to the ark. And they came two by two, walking up into the ramp, into the ark. And I believe they went right to the pen that was designed for them specifically. I don't know how all this came to pass. I don't know. But you know, Noah had faith. What about you and I? You know, do I have that kind of faith, that kind of perseverance, that I would build an ark for even 50 years? It says Noah continued. And he built this ark, and finally it was completed. And finally, the animals were in the ark, and God himself came down, and he closed the door. What do you think the people thought when they saw all these animals coming to the ark? What do you think they thought when the door was closed? Not a drop of rain. Not a drop of rain. They had never seen a drop of rain. It never rained before the flood. But the crops were watered by the dew and never rained. I do believe that the rain that the... I'm not sure how all this was, but it seemed like it had a greenhouse effect where the sun shone through the water was above in the clouds, and it came at night with a dew and watered the grass, watered the plants, and so forth. Now, all of a sudden, it started to rain. After the ark door was closed, the people out there, what do you think they thought? There they were outside the ark. The door was closed. There was no way to get in. But it started to rain. What do you think they thought to each other? And it didn't just start to rain. It didn't just start to sprinkle. But it poured down rain. They must have said to each other, what is going on? Oh, but that we had listened to Noah when he warned us to get into the ark. But it was too late. You know, that's the way it will be. That's the way it will be when judgment day comes. When our life on this earth is ended, then will be the judgment. Am I going to be ready? Are you going to be ready? Are you going to be prepared? Or will you be like these men that watched Noah build the ark and they sneered at him and they despised their very escape route? You know, the only escape route that we have to escape the judgment, the great and final judgment, after we leave this earth, the only escape route that we have is Jesus Christ. To take Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and to come to Him, to confess that we are a sinner and to confess that we are sinful, a sinful person, and that's our only hope, by confession and by faith in Jesus Christ. The atonement that Jesus Christ made for us there at the cross, that's our only hope. Oh, may we bow down at the feet of Jesus today. May we bow down at the feet of Jesus today. Our Heavenly Father, blessed be the name of Jesus. Oh God, this morning we do thank you for your grace and mercy. We do thank you, dear God, that you are calling us to perfection. You are calling us to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Here we are this morning, dear God. I commit my life to you this morning, dear God. Yes, in the name of Jesus, I come this morning, committing my life to you. Oh God, blessed be the name of Jesus. Glory and honor and praise to our King. Lord, this morning we ask you to lead. I just ask you, dear God, to lead me all the days of my life. I ask you, dear Heavenly Father, to show me where I have failed you so that I might confess it and repent. Lord, I ask you to show me, dear God, the iniquities of my own heart, the sin and how black my heart is, how sinful I am, Lord. I pray that you would show me the error of my ways, that I might confess and that I might fall on my face in repentance before God, a holy and a righteous God. So, Father, this morning, I commit these things into your hand in the name of our beloved Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I would just encourage you, if you have not yet done so, if you have not yet confessed your sins, that you would take this prayer even further and name your sins one by one. Fall on your face before God and name your sins one by one. Confess them and repent of them. And when you repent of your sins, it means to turn away and go the other way. It means to stop what I was doing and turn the opposite direction and follow God. You know, that seems almost impossible, but it is possible. It seems impossible in our own flesh, and it is impossible in our own flesh. But by the grace of God, we can do that, and we can be cleansed, and we can be purified, and God will give us the grace to walk in His footsteps. Give us the grace to walk in His ways. So God bless you this morning. God bless you this day. And may you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen. Glory and honor to our King and our Lord. Well, hope to meet with you again tomorrow. And may God bless you. May God give you grace to seek first the kingdom of God today. Have a great and wonderful day.